Well, Christmas Evans was a one-eyed preacher. So there's hope for a one-armed preacher. You turn in with me in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. Going to begin with our text. Actually, verse number 12 and 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Reminds us of last week's message. All. That's God's vocabulary. All. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. For thy good. You know, the fact is, from the beginning of Satan's dealing with mankind, he has continued with his number one weapon. And, you know, there's a few books out there written, lies that women believe, and I guess there's books, lies men believe. There is a lie that humans believe. And there's a lie that so-called Christians believe. There is a lie that many young people believe. And we see that is inferred here. And it goes back to Satan's work against our souls. Notice it says in verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord. Oh, you wouldn't want to do that. I mean, isn't obeying the Bible, isn't that some form of legalism? I mean, isn't that a horrible, horrible chain about your neck to obey the Bible? Isn't that, I mean, the Bible's just a list of a whole bunch of do's and don'ts, and it's a miserable thing to be a Christian. Well, that's what most people believe. That's what most people believe. I'm sure that there's a good number of people right here today that believe that. Notice what it says. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. Here we have, you know, the commandments that God has written for the people of Israel. And they're going to go into the land. And he says, now, you need to go in the land. You need to obey this book. Last week we talked about the fact you need to obey it all. And it's not an option. Christianity is about all. But, you know, the other half of it is what people don't get. And our sinful nature doesn't get it. And the devil is really, works on this. The Lord says, keep these commandments for thy good. For thy good. Good. So, do you believe that? Do you believe that it's good? It's your good? It's to your benefit for you to obey the Word of God? Or do you have within your soul, well, you know, part of the Bible's okay. The ones that I like, that's good. The ones I don't like, that's because they're bad. I'll make my choice, you know, pick and choose. Now, what's the real issue? Well, what is the real issue? Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord thy God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Hath God said. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Who is this God that said you couldn't eat of that tree? Who is this God that says you're supposed to keep this a commandment? Now, the devil says, verse 5, you eat this tree, you will not really die. That's a lie. But knows that the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. Ah, that shall be great. Oh, man. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You see that? God, he's bad. And he's trying to keep something from you that you need. Don't listen to him. Don't obey him. You're fine. To not do what he says, you do what I say. And you eat that tree, that fruit of that tree, and you'll be like God. You'll be advanced. You'll go further. You'll go farther. It'll be better. Because you know, God, he's not good. He's bad. That's right. Is bad. Don't get saved. That's bad. You have a miserable life. If you are saved, thank the Lord you're not going to hell. But I tell you what, don't surrender your life to God. No way. Don't be as foolish as that. Don't surrender your life to God. Oh, and don't obey the Bible. Don't be some extremist. Obey the Bible. Huh. What do you want to do? Live in a straitjacket? You'll have a horrible life. You'll have a horrible life. I tell you what, you're smarter than God. You decide which ones you want to obey and which ones you don't want to obey. I mean, you've lived a lot of life. You know, you're 18 years of age. And you're so smart, you lived 20 lifetimes already, you know better than God. You decide what's right. Isn't that amazing? Because you know what? God is bad. Yeah, it's bad. The commandments of God are bad. God's will for your life is bad. You wouldn't want to get saved. That's bad. I mean, that's exactly what people believe, right? What do you think? Caleb witnessing over there at Taco Bell, what do they say? They say, oh, I got too much living to do before. I don't want to get saved, right? No, they got too much dying to do. Too much dying, too much misery. But today I want us to get the right view of God. I want us to get the right view of God's Word. I want us to get the right view of God's goodness. I want us to get the right view of God's will. And all goes down to one basic truth. God is good. God is good. And the basic lie of the devil and the basic lie of our sin nature, because we are born sinners in Adam, and Adam didn't believe in the goodness of God, and we're born with that sin nature, and we're afraid to obey God. We're afraid to obey God. We're afraid to do God's will. You know what? That's a terrible thing to do God's will. You know that? That's terrible. It's just terrible. You want to make sure you go to Africa somewhere and you suffer real bad. You know what I mean? Because God's will is really bad. I was talking to Stephen this week, and they're looking for a house in Kenya. And they're kind of in a dilemma where to live, because they've been praying about this house 2 houses away from Michael and Tina, and they thought that'd be a good place to live. You know, we could watch over each other's house when we're gone, and et cetera, et cetera. And but it's not going to work out because the people have it for sale and they don't want to rent it. Well, we got to Africa, and this mechanic guy told Stephen, "I'm going to buy that house, and I'll rent it to you." But says, "I can't do it now because elections are this week, and if you know anything about what's going on, Kenya could be a pretty scary situation. In fact, the UN has told their people to get out of town." And he says, "Oh, I can't do it right now." And so he's got that in the back of his mind. Oh, man, boy, it seems like the Lord's in this one. And then they looked at this house in the same subdivision, and right in the backyard is, I don't know what you're going to call it, forest preserve. Overlooks the river. Like a $1 million view out of every bedroom window. And the lady says, the house isn't, they're just finishing up building this house. She says, "I'm going to rent it for $800 a month, but I want you to rent it. And so I'm willing to go down to $500 a month with a $1 million view from every bedroom." You know, God isn't good. It's a terrible thing to do the will of God. Oh man, it's so horrible to do the will of God. You know, that's not true at all, is it? God is good. God is good. I want us to see the goodness of God briefly in this passage of Scripture here and think about it for a minute. Just want to apply it to our lives. So turn with me. Let's look at verse 10, chapter 10, verse of Deuteronomy, and verse 13. We'll stop there for a minute. So it says, "I command thee this day for..." You need to just underline that passage. "For thy good." The purpose of God's Word. The purpose of God's Word. The purpose of obeying God's Word. The result of obeying God's Word. You know what it is? Your good. Your good. You will benefit from obeying God's Word. That's what he's saying. You will benefit. It will be for your good. The best things are going to happen to you in your life if you obey God's Word. We go to those passages where he said, you'll get none of those diseases of the Egyptians if you obey my Word. You'll get none of these diseases. You know, that's true today. You know what? There's an outbreak in the world of sexually transmitted diseases. You know that? By the millions! By the millions! They ought to be on the headline of every paper. You know what? I don't even have to think about that. Do you? No. Person who's obeying God's Word, they don't have to even think about that foolishness, do they? You know why? Because obeying God's Word is good. Now, what does the Bible say on the other hand? It tells us in Proverbs 13, verse 15, it says, the way of the transgressor is what? Hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. You want to have a miserable life? Just play with sin. That's right. Just play with sin. You want to have a hard life? Just play with sin. You know, why don't you go out and do some soul winning and you'll see what life is like for people who play with sin. It's miserable. And you think that obeying God is bad? It's for your good. You know, the Bible talks about the healing that comes when you get saved. And you know, most people don't realize what a mess they are. Most people have no clue of how much a psychological mess, emotional mess they are. They don't have a clue. You know, because they just never lived any different. And they just are oblivious. I remember when I was 18, I got saved when I was 18. And I remember a circumstance in which this person was having some problems. And this psychologist recommended that all these people that are, you know this person ought to come into the psychologist's office. I remember thinking about that. I was thinking, man, I don't want to go in there. They probably think I'm such a mess, they'll lock me up. Well, you know what? I had a lot of problems. But you know, I guess I still got a lot of problems. But you know what? Most of those problems were healed. You know how? Obeying the Bible. When you obey the Bible, it brings healing in your life. You obey the Bible, you overcome your fears, false fears. You overcome your insecurity. You overcome all these things that are on the inside that are real, that are a result of sin in your life and the sin around you. You know, most people today, they don't really want to find out all the problems they got. They want to pretend like everything is fine. But you know what? When you disobey God, you're going to have a lot of problems. You're going to have all sorts of problems. You're going to have psychological problems. You're going to have emotional problems. You're going to have family problems. You're going to have work problems. You're going to have problems everywhere. But the Bible tells us very simple truth. If you obey God's word, it will be for your good. It will be for your good. The Lord said a different way. He said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that great? Psalm 16, it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I'm not talking about the sensual, wicked pleasures of this world. I'm talking about the pleasures of walking with God. Nah, there's not even a comparison. Good. For thy good. You know, God's word is designed for our good. That's why when James, the Bible is called, in fact, in the context, Old Testament, is called the law of liberty. The law of liberty. Because the word of God frees us from the entanglement of sin that entangles our will, entangles our mind, entangles our emotions. It's real. God's word delivers us from that if we'll obey it. And notice, it's purposeful. It's pointed. You know, for thy good. For thy good. You know, God's word is been specially given for the Christian. For his people. You know, the world get much out of the Bible. What sense does the Bible make to the world? But God has given us, the people of God, he's given us the truth, the liberating truth. And it's for our good. So let's take examination question number one. Answer the question. Do you believe that obedience to the Bible is for your good? Or do you believe the lie of the devil in your flesh that says some obeying some of the Bible isn't good? I'm better off if I don't obey it. Now notice chapter 10, verse 21. Notice something else here. It says, verse 20 says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him thou shalt serve, and to him shalt believe and swear by his name. He is thy praise and he is thy God, and he hath done for thee these great and terrible things. Now the old word terrible, old English word, means awesome, overwhelmingly awesome or glorious. He has done all these things for thee. That's the God we know. A God who does all these things for thee. A God who works personally on our behalf. All these things. I think of the maniac of Gadara. The Lord Jesus cast out that legion of demons. Boy, that was a great day for him. He became a child of God. He was liberated from this demon influence and the sin in his life. And the Bible says he was sitting, clothed in his right mind. He says, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, you go home and tell all your friends what great things God has done for you. And that's true. If you're saved, if you know God, you can make a big list, and you ought to take the big list, and you ought to make the big list and say, these are all the great things that God has done for me. Now, if you don't know the Lord, you can't make that list. I mean, the list is still there. The list is still there. And someday you'll be able to figure it out if you get saved. But you know, God's done all these things for us. He's done all these things for us. All what he did for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he did that for us. He didn't do that for himself. Did for us. Great things he hath done for you. How to make the list. Oh, God did this, and 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 God did this. All right, wait a minute. Take the test. Do you believe God does good things for you? Do you believe God does good things for you? Maybe you have to be honest today and say, you know what? I've been stuck in a rut. And I believe the lie of the devil. I don't think God does good things. Well, my God does good things. You know, I've told the story before. Mrs. Johnson can repeat the story. But there's a Baptist preacher by the name of, I forgot his name. I'll get there. But you know, he got thrown in prison. He was 15 years in prison for preaching the gospel. And first they tried to starve him to death. Secondly, they tried to freeze him to death. Then they tried to rat him to death. You know? Rats would sleep, burrow into a sleeping bag, and I don't even think he had a sleeping bag, and snuggle up against him, he's so cold. Then they threw him in a cell with prisoners, murderers, who intended to kill him. And I still can't remember his name. Maybe somebody can shout it out. Huh? George Evans. So George Evans, I heard, was going to preach at Falls Baptist Church. And I thought, man, I want to hear what he's going to preach on. I want to know what this man who has gone through all of this is going to preach on. I couldn't wait until I heard what he was going to preach on. I want to know what's on the top of this man's mind. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to it. So I go there. His text. His text. Who shall separate us from the love of God? That's what his text was. The love of God. And he rehearsed how wonderful God was. And how wonderful it was to know God. How wonderful to serve him. You know what his message was? God is good. God loves me. I love him. God is good. Isn't that a kind of... Does that shock you? We call America the bitter. You know what I mean? America the bitter. Everybody in America, they're bitter about something. This happened and this happened and this happened, and their whole life is about what happened. And they're bitter. You know what? That's the devil. That's the devil. God says to Adam, what'd you do? What'd you eat that fruit for? Adam says, God, it's your fault. You are the one who gave me that woman. You know what that's called? Blame shifting, but it's also called bitterness. You see, the opposite of bitterness is betterness. Everything that God does in our life, even allows, is for our betterment. All things work together for good for them that love God. All things work together for good for them that love God. Do you believe that? God is good. God is good. You know, that's why you need to be saved, because God is good. That's why you need to serve God, because God is good. That's why you ought to surrender your life to do the will of God, because God's will is great. Now notice what he says here. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before thy people, that they may go in and possess the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. To give unto them the land. The land of Palestine, the land of Canaan. God was going to give it to them. He says, you know what? You're going to have vineyards you never planted. You're going to have olive groves you never planted. I tell you what, it takes a lot of work to plant vineyards in Canaan. Mountainous terrain. You have to have terraces everywhere. You have to have water reservoirs. And you're going to have houses you never built. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be prosperous. You're going to have blessing of God. It's one of the greatest nations in the world. I'm going to give it to you. And it's not because you're good. It's because I chose to give it to you. To give it to you. Because I'm good. He says, I'm going to give you the land. Isn't that amazing? To give unto them. God is doing how God is acting on behalf of his people. And now, backtrack. So what does the land represent? The land represents God's will for your life. The land the physical land for the people of Israel. That was God's plan for them. Possess the land. This is going to be the nation of Israel. The picture is God's will. God's will. God's will for your life. You know, every Christian here should be excited about God's will. Every Christian here should be excited about God's will. Because God's will is so good. That's why He saved us. He has a plan for our life. I've not chosen you. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you. You know, isn't God's will exciting? Mrs. Berg, isn't it exciting to be in the center of God's will? Isn't it great to be in that ministry at the university? Oh man, that's, boy, I tell you what, that's, you can't even describe it. It's so great, is it? You know, to be in God's will is so wonderful. You know, I was talking to this fellow, and he was telling me about how he gets adrenaline rushes, you know. I suppose you can get adrenaline rushes by skydiving or bungee diving, you know. I don't know about bungee crashing, but, you know, I read about these multimillionaires that the biggest thing in their life, and the most important thing in their life is climbing up some impossible mountain. And I said to this fellow, you know what? I didn't say these words, but I said, you know, that doesn't impress me. There's nothing more fulfilling and satisfying in life than to be able to talk to people about Jesus Christ. There's nothing that compares to telling people about Jesus. There's nothing that compares. Have God open a person's heart, give you the ability to speak to them. There's nothing. The will of God is absolutely, unbelievably great. God is good. You know, the fact is, we're human. And the fact is, we can be afraid of God's will. And the fact is that our old nature is a liar. And, you know, sometimes we have the nature that instead of seeing the cup as half full, we see it's half empty. My wife always tells me that one. But God's will is great. It can be scary. Yeah, it can be kind of scary. But you know the key issue? Not to believe the lie of the devil. God is good. God is good. I told that to Stephen when he was thinking about renting this house. It was so nice. I'm sure he felt guilty. And I said, praise the Lord! The servant of God both knows how to be abased and how to abound. Do you believe God is good? That's an important thing. He says, you know, faith is based on the goodness of God. These commandments are for your good. You may not understand them. You may not. They might be overwhelming. But you know what? It's not about what you have figured out. It's the fact that they're for your good. And if by faith you will obey the Lord, someday you'll say, I'm so glad by the grace of God. I obeyed God. But you know, it takes faith. And that faith has to be based on who God is. God is good. God is good. And when we want to try pick and choose out of the Bible we want to obey or disobey in this day of compromise, we're basically saying, well, we don't really believe it's good. We're picking the part that we think is good and we're leaving the part that we don't think is good. Probably the part you don't think is good is exactly the part that you need the more than anything else for God to do His great work in your life and mine. So today, do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that God is good? When it comes time to obeying God, do you listen to the devil who says, you're better off not obeying God? It won't work out too good if you obey God. No, let's get back to the Bible. For your good, always. For your good, always. Is your God good? He is good. If you're not saved, I tell you what. God is good. Oh, I'm not promising you a bed of roses. But I tell you what. God is good. The greatest thing ever happened in your life is to get born again. To surrender your life to the will of God, young person, that's the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. Amen? Just wait till you get there. Just wait till you get there. It's even better. Oh, it didn't say it's easy. But it's even better. Because God is good. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we admit that we're sinners. And we know we struggle, Lord. Oh, we struggle. Because we don't always believe that you're good. We know Adam didn't believe that you were good. And we're his children. And in him, we have a problem. Lord, thank you for convincing us that that is a lie. By the fact that you sent your son to die for us. That we can have the forgiveness of our sins. That we can have a new life. We can have a life that's worth living. We can have a life that's in fellowship with you. Lord, the world is just trying to rob everybody of really the good life. Paint all these false pictures on TV of what the good life is. It's all a lie. Lord, the Lord Jesus, knowing Him, serving Him, obeying Him, giving Him our all, that's the good life. And Lord, there's many people here today who could just stand up and shout it out this morning. God is good because He is good. You are good. But Lord, we're praying for the person who's been influenced by the scoffer. We're praying for the person who's been influenced by the apostasy of the day. We're praying for those that are influenced by the voice of the world. Oh Lord, it's a lie. It's all a lie. Because You're good. And Lord, I know that You work in such a way that You're going to test us probably this week, maybe even today. We're going to have to bring it down to brass tacks if we really believe that You're good. And Lord, we know that any temptation to sin is always believing a lie. It's always believing that You aren't good. That somehow sin is always better. Lord, I pray that You'd minister to hearts today. I pray for that soul today that isn't saved. Oh, they got religion. They know maybe the answers, but they've not been born again. Oh, what a miserable life, Lord. I pray that they would realize that You're a good God and getting saved is great. And that, Lord, they need to repent of their sin. Their sin only bringing them misery, misery, and misery. And so, Lord, help that lost soul to turn from their rebellion and thinking that their way is better than Your way. I pray for that Christian that's fighting surrendering to You because of evil communications, corrupt good manners. But I pray that, Lord, that You help them today to believe the truth, that Your will is great. Serving You is wonderful. Not without problems, not without difficulties, not without hardships, but even then, it's wonderful. And Lord, I pray that You encourage those, Lord, who are daily making decisions to obey You. Lord, might their growth forward be faster, quicker, as they realize that the lie that keeps them from obeying is the lie of the devil that says God is not good and that the Bible is not good and obedience is not good. And Lord, I pray that even today would be a day in which rather than fearing God's will, there would be those who say, here's my life, Lord. Here it is. God, whatever You want from me, that's what I want. Lord, might it be so. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today. Say, Pastor, pray with me. The Spirit of God is working in my heart today. I fear that I believe the lie of the devil too long. And today the Lord is giving you victory over that lie. And the Spirit of God is saying, yeah, surrender. Surrender to obey. Surrender to the will of God. Follow, decide to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing you could ever have for your life because God's will is good, perfect, and acceptable. And say, Pastor, pray with me. The Lord, speak in my heart. And there's an important decision I need to make. Maybe you made it, but you just want to have me pray for you anyhow. But you say there's an important decision that I need to make, and God is trying to speak to my heart. Today could be the beginning of a tremendous upward walk for your life and blessing. Say, Pastor, pray with me. Important decision needs to take place in my life. Just lift up your hand where we might be. Okay, I see that hand. Another. Okay. Another. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Okay. Now, Lord, I pray that the truth of Your word would be, Lord, believed, obeyed, and experienced. And give grace in these important decisions. And bless Your people. as we leave and go home with this important truth for our life. And Lord, there's yet time. There's yet time to make those important decisions. Might it be so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.